As we get started this morning, I'd like to ask anyone who is or has ever been a part of Buddy Readers in whatever way, would you please stand up? And anyone who is an educator or has ever been an educator, please stand up. Wonderful. This homily is for you. It's dedicated to you and also to the memory of Annette Boucher, reading teacher extraordinaire. It was a dark and a very snowy evening last December when I logged into Zoom and began setting up breakout rooms for Buddy Readers before bedtime. This year, in addition to our work in three schools, Buddy Readers ran Zoom sessions 4 evenings a week. As the children arrived, I paired them up with their adult buddies and placed them together in a Zoom breakout room. Everything was running really smoothly until Janice, one of our wonderful St. John Fisher volunteers, suddenly popped back in the main meeting space and told me, "I don't know where Charlie's gone. He just all of a sudden disappeared." I had Janice join another group temporarily, saying that Charlie probably just hit a technical glitch and would be most likely back pretty soon. Sure enough, about 20 minutes later, Charlie appeared back in our main space with his 3-year-old little brother snuggled next to him. "Hi, Charlie," I said. "What happened to you?" "My mom had to go to work." I looked more closely. He and his little brother were sitting on a floor, stacks of styrofoam plates and cups and big bags of napkins and plastic cutlery were on shelves all around them. I suddenly realized Charlie was actually at work with his mom, logging into Buddy Readers from a restaurant's storage closet, and at the same time, keeping an eye on his little brother on a very cold and very snowy evening. Charlie is an amazing child. He's in third grade, and he reads quite well. He has a deep love of learning about all different parts of the world, their geographies, and especially the wide variety of animals. Charlie found all kinds of wonderful books to read, from Honduras to Finland, and from leopards to reindeer. He especially liked National Geographic books. He attended Buddy Readers before bedtime almost every single session, 4 evenings a week. Charlie's curiosity is insatiable. I truly believe he's going to be a college professor one day. And Charlie is not alone. So many of the children we worked with this year fell in love with reading, especially as their skills improved after more than a year and a half of disrupted education. These teachers at the schools and the administrators really worked their hearts out to move their kids forward. Our little buddies read about princesses, superheroes, Swedish stories, and African American poetry with real passion. They also played special games designed to help them master their sight words and to build up their vocabularies. This year, we were able to go back in person, in 3 different schools in the city school district. We also continued our online work, now in the evenings as Buddy Readers before bedtime. I can cite all kinds of facts and figures about our ministry. We had nearly 80 volunteers, including wonderfully dedicated people of all ages, from Spiritus, from St. John Fisher University, and from the wider Rochester community too. we were able to serve in total 120 students in grades 1 through 5. At one school, we even began teaching the fifth graders to be buddy readers. And when our sessions ended in May, these fifth graders then continued. They read with their little buddies all the way to the end of the school year. We also ran a book drive, a school supplies drive, and twice last year, because of special grants, we were able to give our little buddies gift bags filled with books and some Fisher bling, too. But while I can cite facts and figures, today's gospel is what really highlights the heart of this ministry. The story of Mary and Martha is a tiny story. A little story that packs quite a punch, however. In it, Jesus names what lasting and eternal really is, what he calls the better portion. It is also an important story about who is worthy of that better portion. First, Jesus' teachings are the better portion. Teachings, learning, receiving an education. As the bumper sticker says, education is a gift that no one can take away. Why? Well, because if everything else falls apart, if the worst happens, learning simply lasts. And the most basic building block of learning is the ability to read. No one can take that away. Reading is a gift that never wears out, never gets lost, never runs away. So who is worthy of an education? Who is worthy to learn to read, to write, to express an opinion? Who is worthy to make decisions for themselves, to interpret the Word of God? Who is worthy to preach the Word of God? These are questions our country continues to struggle with today. And more questions have arisen. Who is worthy of voting? Of marrying the partner of your choice? Of making decisions about their own body? And always, always, who is worthy of an education? Over and over again, these basic human rights and many more have been and are denied to African Americans, Native Americans, to the Latinx community, to women, to immigrants, to the LGBTQ community, to those with physical or mental differences. These basic rights have been and too often continue to be denied to anyone deemed different from our white male founding fathers. Indeed, today there are more of us threatened with the loss of our basic human rights than those who have inherited these rights directly from the founding fathers. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus answers these questions, however, by showing us who is worthy. He simply opens up his teachings to include, in today's story, to include Mary, a woman whose typical role, like her sister Martha's, would have been to cook, to clean, to serve, and to wash up those dishes afterwards. And Jesus does not just allow Mary to listen. He stresses that Mary has chosen the better portion. Jesus stands up for her choice with love. He actively encourages Mary. And this encouragement makes all the difference, doesn't it? This is what we try to do in Buddy Readers. We read with our little buddies, and we encourage them with love. We show them over and over again that they are truly worthy. So let's take a few minutes and hear directly from those actively engaged in this work, adults and children alike. Okay.
Buenos dias.
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun hanging out with the buddy readers and the little kids that need help with work, and it's fun helping them with work that you know how to do.
Well, we did play games, and we did read books, and we did play math games.
Yeah, I've had girls, I've had boys, I've had quiet, I've had loud, I've had energetic, and I love them all.
When I find that a child has made progress in something and you tell them you've done an excellent job, the look on their faces is priceless.
And so I'm just happy that I've been a part of a lot of things that have happened in the world and that I can share those things.
Like sometimes we did books that they liked it, or sometimes we did books that was a little more challenging so they could learn different words.
It was wonderful. I loved reading with them, but we also just formed a relationship that was kind of hard to lose.
I loved it. I love seeing how they've grown with their reading.
Get to know new kids and knowing like what they need help on and being able to help them with their reading.
I worked for 40 years at a job that was very data oriented, and I didn't really feel like I was making a big difference in the community. And so when I retired, I wanted to find some things I could do to try to, you know, give back and help the community.
I'd say you'll probably end up getting more out of it than you put into it.
I feel that I'm contributing, and I feel it's a necessary role that we all play.
Because it's very fun because you get to be with someone, and I love being with people.
When they're picking the books, they're excited about, you know, choosing what they're interested in. I learned about leopards.
I read books and play the games.
I have one book that she just really, really likes. It's a Swedish book that's been translated into English. And it's one of these stories that you have to follow along really closely because all sorts of things happen.
Was developing those relationships also with the other buddy readers.
Like if she would mess up on a word, I would like help her spell it out.
They just bring a lot of joy. Every single time I see them, I leave smiling and happier every single time that I go.
Playing a lot of games, and we were reading a bunch of books.
I'm passionate about fighting racism, and when I'm looking at the news or reading the paper, whatever, I think I have to do something. And this is one small thing in my own little world that I can change. So it's increased my passion.
We read Clifford and Chicken Butt and more books.
Was appreciated by the parents and appreciated by the kids to just have somebody focus on you for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And no one else.
Also because the fifth grader was there, and I had a lot of help from my buddy reader and the fifth grader.
Taught any type of reading or anything. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Buenos dias.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun getting those videos. Oh, they're so darn cute. Anyway, you know, in today's psalm, we repeated, "The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord." As Monica Anderson said in this video, it's so easy to feel overwhelmed. What can I do? What should my priorities be? Well, Buddy Readers volunteers answer this pretty simply. Just take a step. Just take one step, pick up a book and read. Once a week, with one child, just pick up a book and read. We do this because we know that when we read with children, we are following Jesus' example of teaching and encouraging with love. In one small way, we are working to make justice a reality in our community. We do this because afterwards we know we have done something, we have taken one step, and we are living in the presence of the Lord. Bell Hooks describes our challenge beautifully. The task awaiting us is to move from awareness to action. The practice of love requires that we make time. The practice of love requires that we make time. The question for all of us then is, will we make time? Thank you.